get rid of all your candles, all your perfumes, all your Yankee candles. It's hard because they are addictive. They're designed to be, but the problem, the consequence of that, they carry phthalates with them, which are highly carcinogenic, hormone disrupting, testosterone disrupting, endocrine disrupting, lead to infertility.
Welcome to the Inspired Living with Autoimmunity podcast, the podcast for high achievers who want to stay sharp, focused, and full of energy despite their diagnosis. With your host, National Board Certified Functional Medicine Health Coach, Julie Michelson, where Julie helps you take your power back from autoimmunity. And now here's your host, Julie Michelson.
Welcome back to the Inspired Living with Autoimmunity podcast. I'm your host, Julie Michelson. And today we're joined by Warren Phillips, the non-toxic dad. Warren is a passionate and energetic individual, and he lives by his words and works tirelessly to educate the world about avoiding and removing toxins. In today's conversation, we're talking about greenwashing as a marketing tactic, the impact of chemical fragrance, and some of the latest research and studies on toxins that may surprise you. Warren also shares new research about a recent study on marijuana and hemp products and heavy metals. Warren, welcome to the podcast.
It's a pleasure to be here. This is going to be so fun. I had such an honor to meet you at Health Experts Alliance, right? And you're a health expert. And we hit it off. And now here we are.
We did, indeed. And I've been waiting for this interview.
My team told me, this lady is so excited. You know, she's like, get me in. I'm like... And I'm like, that's Julie. Like, she's full of energy.
Well, it's contagious. And so I said earlier today, you know, I'm interviewing Warren today. I need to bring it because his energy is amazing.
So is yours. That's why we hit it off so well. So I give you that same compliment. So let's have some fun. This is going to be a powerful podcast. I'm so excited.
It's going to be great. And the reason I'm so excited is because I know what you share, although you're always ahead of the curve, so you always have new information. So I'm excited to learn from you along with listeners. But first, I want to start for, you know, there might be two people out there that do not know non-toxic dad. So how did Warren Phillips become non-toxic dad? Share your story with us.
Do you want the 3-minute, 5-minute, or 8-minute version?
Not eight. Let's go 3 or 5.
Okay, three to 5 minutes. So. And I'll make it fun, right? So always loved the environment, outdoors, big-hearted young kid, sensitive, right? Went to graduate school, undergrad, pre-med, got into geology, environmental science, double major, chemistry, went on to graduate school, still in that same mode, cleaning up the environment. Did my master's work on a binding of heavy metals in soils and streams, all the contamination that's happening, which I still am super passionate about, right? If you kick Mother Nature's ass, she's going to kick yours, right? If you kick your body ass with toxins, it's going to express kick in back. Disease and dysfunction. Yeah. So it's a math problem. So I was cleaning that stuff up. And then I got into environmental consulting in Missoula, Montana. A river runs through it. I was fly fishing, doing all the fun things that a young single, energetic, ex-All-American athlete would do, right? Just living life to the fullest, very spiritual at the time as well. But over time, just like all of us, the toxins that build up every day that you're not getting rid of start to fill up your buckets, causing retoxification, recirculation of toxins in your body, causing more inflammation, more hormone disruption, triggering autoimmune conditions, and to the point where I had a mercury exposure on a mercuric oxide cleanup site. I also had a pretty nasty lead exposure because I didn't wear my PPE, my personal protective equipment, which we're now all familiar with because thanks to the vid. So everybody knows what personal protective equipment is. So in that process, I got sick to the point where I had to quit my job, sell my home, and move back to my parents' basement. Some of the symptoms were a lot of the mercury symptoms like abnormal shyness, random muscle twitching, eyelid twitching, anxiety, that I would just lock up and couldn't do anything. That when I moved home, I moved into a moldy basement. So now I had a lot of heavy metal. And I think I'd had some mold looking back. I remember some black mold in my home in that I sold in Missoula, Montana, but my parents live in Pennsylvania where it's wet on a side of a hill. So the humidity was over 50% in that home, which is the trigger. If you have a humidity of 50%, free gift. And even if you don't see mold, you have mold, right? There's levels that might not have Stachybotrys, but you're going to have Aspergillus or some mold growing in your home. All it needs is that there's plenty of food around and dust and drywall dust and dirt from construction growing. So here I am, mold. It gets worse. Full-blown chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, weight gain into obesity, 210 pounds. Medical doctors. I've already seen a bunch of therapists and medical doctors and chiropractors in Missoula. I continue on that path. My parents think that I'm just, you know, off my rocker. And this is 2005. None of this stuff existed. There wasn't no mold summit or Lyme summit. Their illness, like this stuff didn't exist, right? Mold illness wasn't even a thing till a little bit later. And Richie Shoemaker is the one that kind of brought that to the world from Pocomoke, Maryland. So I came home super sick, knowing that it could have been the toxins, like in the, you know, I have a gut feeling, right?
Right.
That's the true genius. Even Einstein says that. Women have it because I think they're more heart connected a lot of the times. No offense, dudes. But
women kind of train themselves out of listening to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So. We've talked about that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there's this gut feeling and I'm like, oh, I'm toxic, right? I mean, it could have been, I thought it was arsenic because there was just no information. There was no internet. I mean, the best book you could find is that guy who went to jail. It was like the 50 things that are making you sick or 50, the natural cures guy.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the best. I mean, I was reading his book, right? I didn't know, right?
Right.
I'm like reading his book, like getting stuff because I was 25 years old and sick. So keep fast forwarding. I thought it was heavy metals. Might have been Lyme because Lyme in Pennsylvania was a thing.
Sure.
And then, you know, met Dr. Dan. He's like, you're heavy metal poisoned. I'm like, oh my gosh, I think you're right. This is what I thought in my gut. Had to pull some research from universities on microfiche, printed out like, oh, this can be real. Investigated amalgam fillings and how much mercury is released. Called labs for my old job in Idaho, confirming that the dental wastewater is loaded. So all that to say, I got found out, finally found the cause, got really upset about that cause. And I'm still not non-toxic dad yet. So I started my career. I moved from environmental consultant, turned jobs down in Pennsylvania to work in clinics and help other doctors expand their impact. Cause I believe toxins is the root cause of many of the health challenges and why I was sick. And literally it took me 5 years. So it was a great place to work, right? Cause I'm working with people that didn't think I was crazy. I was able to relate to clients and patients and, you know, feel their pain and, you know, from autistic side of the world and just really understand. And I had healing and helping. And that's how I got into that. And then as I transitioned out of that, just last year, 18 years of practitioner coaching and all that, I decided, you know what, maybe I should see, you know, how to test the waters. And I trained up a lot of other doctors to go out there and become, you know, take your message, like your heart is good. You're going to do well. You're authentic. Like, you know, you shouldn't, you know, being small is not helping
Stop
the
hiding.
World. Yeah. Yeah. And so I had someone challenge me to do the same. And they said, how would you ever know if you don't try? Right. So I did that about a year ago. In March is when I officially started Non-Toxic Dad. And
happy almost, you know, anniversary tomorrow.
Thank you. And so that's the journey. And ultimately it's, I couldn't believe, like you heard me share from stage, I believe.
Yes.
I couldn't believe the impact that you can have through social media, which I boohooed and canceled, you know.
Right.
Over the, you know, and I still feel that social media is poisonous to our brains, if not managed, just like anything else,
right?
Sugar,
right.
Or whatever else. But it does have a big impact. It is changing lives. So that definitely fuels me and my, you know, I'm almost 50. So we're starting
it.
To grow up, right?
You
got the almost, 8 minutes.
I don't know. I've hung out with you. I don't know about starting to grow up, but. As a practitioner from that side of it and having listened to you on stage and you do help those of us that have been hiders, you know, get out and share their message more, because I don't love social media. I don't even like it for personal use. But it is an important and impactful way to reach people. And, you know, if they're getting the crap, they might as well also get the good information. And this is how we create change. This is why we're here today talking about it.
You can't reach millions of people. Like, I would have to own a TV channel to get this kind of opportunity.
Well, so, and then I don't even, watch TV.
We watch very little.
Yeah, it's very, very selective.
Yes, there you go.
Selective. Yeah. Which is how we, as you said, can and should be with our social media as well. And what I do love is you bring your message in a way that is so fun. I shared before we hit record, I was chatting with my 24-year-old on as I was coming home from the clinic today, and I told her we were going to be recording, and she was talking about, one of your reels. So I love you just... To me, this is, you're preaching to the choir when we talk. This is such an important topic. Literally every person I work with, whether they have autoimmunity or not, has a toxic burden issue. Definitely if they have autoimmunity, they do. And so it is a component, even if it's not, it's never the only thing. If we're not managing our toxins and doing that by getting educated and making good choices, we're not going to heal. And I love, I have such a hard time picturing you, overweight and shy.
Abnormally shy.
Right. You are literally the picture of a healthy male. So all of us can heal. That's how the body is designed. We really need to be diligent. So I'm excited to dig in. And I know I promised I wasn't going to keep you for 3 hours. So I want to just start with what is new, because you are a researcher at heart. You are very science-based. And then again, you bring the fun in. And I know you're always ahead of the curve and bringing us new information, hopefully in a way that isn't scary. because I know
I try not to, but like the diaper one, I came out pretty hardcore because there was a new study done on diapers, and I just watched a video. I'm like, I came off a little angry in that one, right? Because I don't never want to come off angry, because I don't think that's going to serve. It'll serve maybe my audience, but it's not going to serve those who
change.
Yeah, they're going to be like, that guy's angry. I'm not going to listen to that, even if he was. So I watched it. I'm like, darn it! But it was about diapers, right? And there's new 2023 or even 2024. I can't remember, but I printed out the study and I actually have the study in my hand when I do the video. But there's so many VOCs inside of diapers, right? And that can cause respiratory issues, lead into asthma, obviously. And VOCs are toxic. They contain carcinogens, known carcinogens.
Well, the word volatile is the first word in VOCs, right?
Well, volatile, but essential oils are volatile organic compounds too, right?
Okay.
They have healing properties, but too much too, but these are volatile, bad toxins. We're talking petroleum-based volatile organic compounds, VOCs. And so that's to your point. It's like, I always try to come from my heart, but sometimes and funny and make light, because none of this is out to shame, right? Because I just had to work through all that stuff. I was raised Catholic, and nothing wrong with Catholicism. Actually, the older I get, the more beauty you can see in some of the rituals and the meditative state that it creates, gets you into your God brain, if you will. So there's lots of beautiful things as you heal and you age, you look at things not to blame, but to learn, right?
Right.
That's two different mindsets. But what really shocked me and really upset me, and I can't believe they're getting away with this, but fragrances, right? And this is something that I think will be really helpful to the moms out there, is that fragrances, according to, I found another study as I was digging through all that research, is that there's a study that says that it's the unconsolable crying of a child can be triggered and caused, and I think it was something crazy, like a 50% increase in this study from chemical fragrances. Right. Ugh. And they put them even in diapers to cover the poo smell. But they all these fun scents that we're doing with our babies could be causing our little loved ones to cry. And so how can these companies get away, seeing that research, putting chemical fragrance into the wipes and the diapers and maybe lotions.
I feel like it's getting
worse. You have perfume on as a mom and your baby smells like perfume because you hold them and they're just so annoyed from this chemical because it's a neurotoxin, a known neurotoxin, a known carcinogen. But anyway, that's a new one.
Well, and that, so we're going to, we're going to visit that rabbit hole a little bit. And this is a very personal opinion. It's not, you know, it would be a disservice not to get angry because the angry, you know, that you don't want to stay angry. We got to move through that. But I find even with, and this isn't new, the baby study I have never heard of. And it doesn't surprise me either because babies aren't filtering the reaction, right? They're just reacting. But it's not new news. The chemical fragrance is toxic. And what I have seen is more and like they're putting fragrance in things. Why?
In food boxes, like
food boxes, Amazon packages, even literally a grocery bag, a plastic grocery bag scented. I don't understand
it just smells
like garbage and scent fragrance.
But it's like, yeah, shit and fragrance. Yeah. So here's the reason I believe why, right? Scents, just like perfumes, chemical fragrances, artificial flavors, all manufactured by large billion-dollar companies like Givaudan. And they create them to be addictive. The taste, right, to be addictive. The smell, to be addictive. So why do you think W has the W scent? It's because when you come there, you experience it, you smell that scent, and they hired a chemical fragrance manufacturer to create a signature scent that they're like, hey, we want people to be addicted. We want them to go home and smell the W scent. And you can't get rid of that stuff. Like it's you come home, your brain shuts off. You only can handle so many bits of information. So you don't smell it as much. You smell it, but it's, you come home to your house and you set your baggage down, your bags from travel, and they reek. And you have to wash your clothes twice just to get it out, right? And if you wash one shirt from that was sitting in the room with the W scent, it ruins your washer.
The whole load. Oh my gosh, that just happened to me. It wasn't a W experience. We were in the UK, and my beautiful human of a partner threw some laundry in at the Airbnb, which was, I mean, you want to talk about, you could see them. We were in the UK in the winter. It was moldy. I brought detergent with me, but there was so much fragrance. I got rid of the clothes. I had a brand new shirt. I'd worn it once. He washed it there. I could not get the smell out. I got rid of it. I just
you wouldn't be able to for like four or five washings and it would have been too much work.
No.
I'm going to enjoy your trip.
I tried. Well, no, wait, I tied the, you know, anyway. So sometimes it's not even a nice fragrance, but our olfactory sense is the strongest tie to our memory. That's why they're doing it, right? So you may not even be conscious or aware of it, but when you walk back in, like you said, it's going to trigger that memory. Really, really powerful stuff. And see, now I'm getting fired because
no problem.
Let's go. I am somebody, and I'll say this for listeners: if you're like, oh yeah, you know, I had somebody just say to me 2 days ago, oh yeah, I asked, is she sensitive to fragrance and chemicals? And she said, I am. I notice the older I get. And I'm like, well, it's not really age. It's your toxic burden is higher. And so if you're someone who's listening and you're like, yeah, I'm sensitive, it's because it's a toxin issue.
It's one of the big ones.
It is. And I am about myself. I'm a collector as well. This is why we get along. Lead, mercury, mycotoxins is my history. And I look back and I'm like, I was that person who, you know, I had Pier 1 candles all over my house, like my poor kids when they were growing up.
It's a big change. Like if we're talking about, like, if you want like a big one, get rid of all your candles, all your perfumes, all your Yankee candles. It's hard because going back to what you said before, they are addictive. They're designed to be. You love them because they designed them in a chemical manufacturer. They beta tested. They spent millions of dollars to make sure that you get addicted. So if you want to be manipulated that way, you are, and that's your choice because you love it. Right. You enjoy it. But it's not natural, and they create them for you to be addictive. But the problem, the consequence of that, they carry phthalates with them, which are highly carcinogenic, hormone disrupting, testosterone disrupting, endocrine disrupting, lead to, you know, infertility, like
an autoimmunity.
Autoimmunity. So, and then the carcinogenic nature of these chemicals. So there's just really no upside besides you like it. So,
but there are alternatives.
Tons. So,
yeah, I like things that smell nice also.
Yeah.
I just use really clean essential oils and it can still make me feel really happy.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
it's good stuff. While I'm still charged up, then I can settle down after this next topic. I want to talk about greenwashing. It's something that I've touched on really briefly before, and I think that I know that listeners will get a lot of value out of hearing what you have to say. First of all, even just starting with, what is greenwashing and why should we care?
Yeah, greenwashing, in a lot of respects, is marketing. So the green movement has some great sides to it, right? But the green movement, people look at it and be like, oh, the environment. Oh, and so they use that to their advantage because I love talking on this topic because I'm talking to the kind-hearted humans right now that care about animals, that care about the environment, that love people, that are sensitive, right? And so a lot of the times they're not even doing it for health reasons. Their first initial thing is, wow, this is a green, environmentally friendly product. Wow, this is wonderful. So they're using greenwashing is persuading you that it's environmentally friendly and non-toxic, yet it may not be non-toxic or environmentally friendly. So let's look at, not all Method products are horrible, but some of them are. Like if you go to EWG, they're D-rated. And there's a couple chemicals in there that are not environmentally friendly, are not non-toxic, yet they're a green label, right? And they have, in some of their products, chemical fragrance, which is not green by any stretch of the imagination. You can't say environmentally friendly and chemical fragrance in the same sentence.
Right.
And especially with animals, right? If you, I've had Glade plugins with people that have birds multiple times. Their birds don't sing. My birds don't sing. Take the canary out in the coal mine. Take the Glade freshener out. Now my bird's tweeting again because it's messing with that bird's neurology. It's toxic to the environment, right? When you're blowing fragrance from your dryer sheets out into your environment, even if it's the eco-friendly ones and it's fragrance because they have those, right? They're eco-friendly and they're green, but they contain fragrance and other chemicals. So that's greenwashing. So it's manipulating you, persuading you to buy something that at giving it the green label, putting the green on there, environmentally friendly, but it's not non-toxic and it's not necessarily environmentally friendly. They might have some more environmentally friendly ingredients, but not all of them are, right? So that's the greenwashing movement. And then to add to that, it all comes down to marketing. They're trying to grab market share from people who want to help the environment, right? So most of your big box stores, there is some good brands that make it into bigger grocery stores. They're typically going to be on the bottom shelf. Some of them make it up depending on the brand, but
they get, you know, a foot of shelf space.
There's only one of their products in there but the greenwashing ones kind of do pretty well because they have the money, they have the backing and they're owned. Typically they've been bought out. They started off, a lot of these companies started off green,
maybe
environmentally friendly.
Clean. Right.
Yeah. And no preservatives, but you're talking shelf life, you're talking worldwide distribution. So of course we got to add, you know, preservatives and toxins to keep this stuff shelf life. It's just no brainer for them, right? I mean, how can they have global domination, right? The CEOs, we're going to take over the cleaning movement. And there was a study done just recently. It's a might even been a 2024 study that they compared the Green Label products to standard cleaning products, and the amount of toxins and volatile organic compounds, once again, were the same. So they're no better, but they're just using the green label, the greenwashing. The study concluded that essentially they shouldn't be able to do this. Yeah, right. So they're no better. So we need to have better regulations on this marketing and the things that they're doing. And it's green labeling, but not non-toxic. And it comes down to market share, right? So they're attaching green and environmental, and you think you're doing the right thing for yourself, for your family, for your kids. You hear about these toxins, but if you flip it over and you can't understand the ingredients,
thank you,
then you know right away that this, I don't understand this. This isn't transparent. This is confusing. And I see fragrance perfume run away. If it says fragrance 100% derived from, you know, essential, you know, organic.
But then it wouldn't even say fragrant. Like they know better than even use the word. That is one of my other huge, and this is why, and then I'll simmer down. This is what you said is why this makes me angry. Because also from personal experience, and clients coming in thinking they're using non-toxic products, mm-hmm. they fell for the marketing. And it's one thing if you're not there yet and you're not paying attention, different, you know, but to try to capture this part of the consumers that is trying to make a good choice for their family and they're getting duped. And I did it for years. I used a product that, you know, a line that I thought was clean for my family because I was learning. And so that's why I get really, really upset. And to take it a step further, this is how far some of the companies go. They'll say essential oils on the front. And so they may have some essential oils in it. Yep. Turn it around because they also often have chemical fragrance.
Shampoos are horrible at that because they're looking for a non-fragrance because people know fragrance. They see it on the front. That stops them. That got the yes because we're busy. We're busy moms. We're busy dads.
Right.
Oh, look at that. Or they put unscented.
Oh.
And unscented isn't fragrance-free. Unscented has another chemical that covers the scent. So the neutralizer.
Say that again, because people look at me like I have three heads when I say this, because it just doesn't even make sense, but it's true.
Yeah, it's labeling, marketing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not fragrance free because they can't say that legally, but they can legally say unscented because they put a chemical to make it unscented. So it doesn't have the soap smell or the chemical soap smell. So they put in another chemical to neutralize the smell and they call it unscented. And we think it's fragrance free. Again, we think we're doing something that's good for our families. Yep. My kid is sensitive to fragrances. I noticed that they get a skin irritation or whatever. And it could, because fragrances do cause skin irritation, right?
Right.
It's one of the side effects. Probably the phthalates or who knows? It could be 150 different chemicals that go into one concoction of a fragrance, right?
Right.
And so, you know, that's what we get. So
like natural flavors, it's the catch-all, like just don't do it. It could be anything in there.
Yeah. I've gotten rid of all natural flavors, and there are some good natural flavor companies out there that people put natural flavors. But if you're really digging into that level, you would say what that natural flavor is. It derived from organic, whatever. You can label transparently, right?
Right.
And they're not. So someone who's into it, a small company and all these companies that are out there, they know, like they're like us. So they're like, I created this company because my daughter was sick. I was sick of the greenwashing, and they took that energy, that anger, if you will, filtered it and channeled it fueled into something great. And that's what energy is. Like something bad happens to you, you're negative at first, and you relabel that neutral happening to something positive. So that's what sickness can be too. It can be your fuel.
Yes. Make the changes.
Yep. And that's what, if you remove some toxins, you can get some energy.
I love it.
Your energy back. They're energy robbers. Fragrance is a big one.
I want to always end this part of the conversation on a positive note, because what we just said could be really overwhelming for people, because we just basically said, you know, you have to dig in and don't trust, you know, the labeling. So how do you have a resource you recommend to people when they're looking for products?
I think EWG updates their database pretty good. There's some good apps out there as well. I can't remember some of them. There's a couple really good ones.
Yuka, Yuka is one that's a good one. Yuka what I like about them is they give you alternatives, you know, like, oh, here's what
I've been actually, someone shared that app with me and they actually reached out to me. But I haven't looked into it and, but I've heard it a lot now. There was a guy that I was working on my truck and he knew I was crazy because I was like, I need a non-toxic glue. And they're like, we don't have one. I'm like, here's one that's carb this certified, no VOC, da 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 da, use this glue. Right. And he's like, you're really into this stuff. I'm like, yes, I am. You know? And he's like, you would like the Yuka app. I just scanned, what was it? The little Lunchables. And it showed you all these toxins that they don't even tell you that are in the Lunchables, right? And I want to do a video on that. So you just reminded me that was my good idea trigger. I want to deep dive in Lunchables because moms are giving Lunchables and thinking that it's healthy. And again, it's easy, but you know,
well,
I mean.
And speaking of easy, so I love EWG as another reference point, and they have an app as well. I like personally because. Unlike you, this stuff lights a fire under me, and I know this is top priority for wellness, but I don't want to spend all day researching every product all the time. And so that's where back to EWG, I like companies that are EWG certified because, you know, they're not making this thing that's dirty and this thing that's clean. And I feel like...
And the owner of MadeSafe, I know her. She had a daughter that got sick and she was sick as a child as well. And so she invested a lot of money. Like this isn't a moneymaker for her, right? This is a mission and a passion. It's a nonprofit. The amount of work, I wanted to do something similar. And I'm like, wow. Like after talking to her and hearing her story, looking at the path that she took, I'm like, this is a tough path. And it's hard to get, you know, and she's not non-toxic dad, right? She's not, you know, she's not getting out there. She's putting all of her time into creating this certification and she's not marketing it, right? Although there's a lot of companies that are now using her. Anne Marie Skincare is when it comes to mind. You could eat their stuff before it was made safe. But there's just a lot of, I just happen to know them, their friend. I'm not affiliated by any means with any of these companies, but I think she does a good job and EWG does a good job and, you know, XYZ, maybe I'll be doing a good job someday when I.
Well, and that's the beautiful thing is there are more and more resources that those of us lay people can use to check our products and to make good choices. But even simpler, and that may help you find the clean thing, which might not be at your grocery store, your local grocery store, depending on where you live. Just take Warren's first sentence, which is turn it around, turn the box around, turn the bottle around and read the back and just don't fall for the marketing. It's like even with food, if it says, you know, natural or healthy or like, don't do it. I literally saw vegetables labeled as vegan. I'm not even kidding you. And I'm like, okay.
They're trying. It's a buzzword right now. Right. And that's why there's big battles online and, you know, it's silly to me. It's a big waste of energy. And, you know, so the other thing, the other tip that I like to think about, if you couldn't drink that product and not make you sick, then so think about that. That's the standard. If you can look at it and it says some of these like lip balms have, you know, a poison warning on them. Right.
Right.
You couldn't eat it. Right.
Well, so if there's toothpaste, talk about poison warnings.
Put it so if you can't eat it, there's better options out there for you, especially if it has a poison warning label, like this stuff can kill you. And it can.
Right.
Just don't do it. Why would you put it on your body? Like it makes no sense. Why would you spray it on your, you know, to clean, right? When you can use vinegar and baking soda for abrasive, you can just use your eggshells and grind them up in a blender. Like you can save yourself all this money and time and then you're they're lying to you. So just make your own stuff. DIY for do it yourself. DIY. I always mix that up. Yep. My Y and my I.
It sounded right to me. I'm glad
DIY is the way to go for cleaning products. That's all we use, right? Is vinegar and vinegar and water. And my house smells like vinegar. You can boil some lemon peels or whatever in there to get rid of that. So it is the place to go. And I could drink that, right?
Right.
It'd be a nice vinegar tonic.
Yeah. Well, and I have an aversion to the smell of vinegar. So for those that are listening that are like me, you're never going to be DIYing with vinegar.
Have you tried like boiling lemon and stuff?
I use a product called lavender hydrosol, and and you can use it from counter to floor everywhere. And I love it. And so
does it create an oxidative reaction species? Because you're saying hydrosol, I'm thinking that it has some sort of oxidizer in it.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I might ask you to dig into that for me. I've been to the lavender farm that makes this product. That's the other thing. Sometimes it's a swing and a miss. So now I'm going to, find out more about that. You may get me to use vinegar yet. We'll see. But there are companies out there if you are not a DIYer. I made my own detergent one time. It didn't work well. It was not good. This was also probably 15 years ago. I'm not great at the DIY. That's not understood. My thing.
We do it just on the cleaning product for the most part.
Well, and I think which is awesome. But the good news is for those of us that aren't doing it, there are companies out there that have good products.
And vinegar smell is real. That's real. That's real for people.
Well, and the funny thing is I love, I cook with vinegar, apple cider vinegar. I'll use balsamic sometimes, but the white vinegar can't do it. I couldn't clean my coffee pot with it back when I used to use a plastic coffee pot those days.
We all did.
Right. So in light of we kind of dangled and you did share the diaper study with us. Other new research. I live in Colorado. Colorado kind of led the whole legalization of marijuana. And I don't know about where you live, but it's very widely used here. You have some information for if anybody is using marijuana products that I think is really interesting and important.
Yeah, this goes back to my heavy metal remediation days, and it really was great information because I really understood the study and multiple studies that I read. I spent several hours deep diving in this, but a headline caught me the other day, and because I get fed, Google feeds me research. Sure. Because it hears my phone and. Because of social media, I'm now getting fed stuff that actually helps, which is good. I just get all science. It's so fun. And that heavy metals were showing up in the blood of people. I think if you smoked or just used marijuana twice a month, they were showing elevated levels of lead and some mercury and some other heavy metals in users versus non-users. Because most people, unless you're eating sushi or eating heavy metal contaminated products, you're not going to have heavy metals showing up in your blood because you'll go to your, I was at my functional medicine doctor said I'm lead poisoned, and they take a blood work and they say, you have no lead.
Not in your blood.
It's not in your blood. It's in your cells. It's in your bones. Right. So it's the wrong test. So to see that, really
circulating.
Like, wow. So finding these elevated levels in the blood of marijuana users. So this would go for hemp as well, right? If it's even, this goes past just marijuana, but it would go into hemp and oils and CBD and all that, right? The study didn't target that, but what's interesting-
it's coming from the same plants, so.
Yeah, so marijuana is a heavy metal sequestrant. It sequesters heavy metals. That's the scientific term. It sequesters heavy metals. And there's plants that we used to use in environmental cleanup on a contaminated mine. We'd grow certain plants that would suck up the heavy metals and sequester and soak them up. And then you would take that and then you would move that to a class hazardous waste landfill where those heavy metals just get moved away from the soil and the environment and into a place where it's safe, where it's dry and water isn't seeping through it and contaminating waterways like it would in a abandoned mines are always around, especially turn of the century, abandoned mines are always around streams. Sure. So what they use marijuana for and hemp is to sequester and soak up heavy metals. So take Colorado, for instance, and this is an agricultural issue, really it comes down to that. There's elevated levels of toxic heavy metals in marijuana. And if they're not showing you the results, and if you're not asking for the COAs, certificate of analysis, COAs, that they're low heavy metals, they're loaded and you don't even know it. They could be even over Prop 65. I don't know. I mean, but heavy metals and marijuana go together, right? And here's the other thing. They hybridized marijuana to be better at sucking up heavy metals and hemp, right? Because it's fast growing. It can grow on contaminated soils. It can grow, it'll still grow. And a lot of plants won't grow on right. toxic heavy metal contaminated soil. The plants can't handle it. Hemp can.
Oh.
So they bred them for that. And then those strains that grow really well, that you can grow anywhere, of course, growers are using these strains to make their products. And now you have heavy metal contamination in the supply chain. And if you're in Colorado, a mining state that's growing a ton of this stuff, it's soaking up heavy metals and they're not testing. I mean, maybe organic farms, I don't know. They get to do some testing, but if you're not testing the soils and it has heavy metals in it, that's getting into those plants, that's getting into the supply chain. And unfortunately, in the presence of heavy metals, it's all going to collect in the stems, the leaves, the flower, all of it. So it's bad news.
It is bad news. And the what do I do about it if I use any kind of hemp or marijuana products? You answered that already. I just want to circle back for listeners. Using products that have a certificate of analysis, that have third-party tests, you know, you want to know.
And the people that are dishonest, what they'll say is, I cannot share that information with you, but we hold to the highest standards of analysis and safety for our clients. So they have this canned legal answer, but if they're doing it right and they understand, and hemp growers know this, right?
Right.
True hemp growers that are trying to help people with their products. They have organic farms. They're doing it right. They know that hemp does this. They probably chose a strain that doesn't suck. They all suck, not suck. They all sequester or soak up heavy metals.
But that's going to be the name of the podcast episode. Yeah. They all suck. But it's the nature of the plant.
It is the nature
of what you're saying. So the difference between somebody in it for the money, it's the back to the same, right?
I think in this particular case, they just don't know, right? You know, I think a lot of it is they don't know unless you're really into this, right? Like a lot of people in the supplement space, they're trusting the manufacturer. They're not doing extra analysis like I do. I have non-toxic, you know, project certified products that I would take that knows there's no heavy metals or whatever. They're just getting a product and kind of doing commerce, and they love the green, right? They get benefits from it. You know, it's great. But that it is sad for somebody who's, say, a cancer patient is using it for management,
right?
Could be getting heavy metals that could not help them because it's these things are carcinogenic. So it's if you're into it, if you're doing it, especially for health reasons, I would 100%. And you're eating it, you're not smoking it,
right?
You know, these companies that are good, they'll let you know. They'll like, here's the certificate of analysis. Yes, we understand that most hemps are full of heavy metals. Ours isn't. This is what we've done. Those are the people you want to purchase from.
Love it. Such amazing information because again, timely and for me.
You're just about to go fire up a bowl, I think.
No.
I'm teasing. But you said timely and
that's
awesome.
That was a softball and because it is, you know, more people than ever are using, especially even like edibles and things. And again, it's find the clean ones. And like you said, especially if you're using it for health, it's the same concept, you know, do your homework. And like you said, if they can't share with you, then don't spend your dollars there.
Yeah, especially CBD companies. They're supplement companies. They have to follow CGMP. I don't know the marijuana industry. I don't know, you know, medical marijuana or distribution through, you know, pharmacies or whatever, right? That's not my jam. I'm not a big user. So I don't know any of that stuff. But I know in the supplement industry, they do have to follow CGMP. So they're at least getting tests. So they're getting them done.
Right.
Whether they're good or bad, you know, because it's actually subjective. So the standards are pretty loose and it's a subjective, it's close enough. Like 8 parts per million lead, that's fine. But that's way too much in my opinion, right? If it's above, this is where I love Prop 65 because there's no safe levels of lead. There's none, right? And we're all being exposed to it.
Right.
And so you bioaccumulate this stuff. So Prop 65 is set up, and we'll end with this, is that they're assuming that you're getting it from multiple sources. So they make that number really small to keep you safe, right? Especially children. So they did a really good job when they thought that one through. It's tough for probably a hemp grower because hemp naturally has a lot of heavy metals. So they have to be super careful, right? So you're not going to get, So you're not going to get zero, but there's people out there and you're hearing this, you can find growers and suppliers that really do a good job with this stuff. And in some of the distilling process would take some of that out too. So I think CBD is going to be lower because there is distilling that's happening, right? So some of that's going to get out.
And you want, again, companies that are going to share their testing and companies that are continuously testing and again, third party, even people I love and trust, you know, I don't want to see a study published by a pharmaceutical company about their product. You know, you really want objective data for sure.
Amen. So, I agree.
Good stuff. We could talk for another 5 hours, but I promised I wouldn't. I would love to have you back
on. Three. Now it's five. You're having a good time.
Exciting projects do you have coming up? What are you working on these days?
Well, the fun thing is I'm speaking at the Biohack Your Beauty event. That'll probably be in LA. So that's fun. Getting on some big podcasts with Brian Goldstein's podcast and Squints. Remember Squints from Sandlot? Yeah. Everyone loves Squints. He was so cute. So nostalgic for me. He's I guess he's still pretty cute. So getting on some bigger podcasts. So that's fun. Getting the message out on not necessarily health podcasts, being able to share this information has been an honor. Health Experts Alliance coming up, going to do that. Dr. Pedram Shojai. Yeah, Dr. Pedram Shojai and I are releasing a docu-series called Home Sick Home. You can, by the time this airs, get a free viewing of that for the debut, homesickhome.com. So that's going to be fun. Really well done by an HBO guy that sits on the board of the writer build. Actually, he's the president. So it's really well scripted and impactful when it comes to home toxins and mold and VOCs. I did a piece here in my home. So we're just getting the word out. So that's why, you know, I love being on podcasts and going to events. I don't like traveling. But when I do it, I do it for impact. I'm actually doing another touring some homes from million dollar listing. One of the guys on that. So we're going to do a piece together. So we're doing a lot of things. I have a new book that I'm writing that should be coming out in the next couple months. So we're full steam ahead and really trying to educate. You know, once I found that there was traction through this educational process and people were getting their lives changed and thanking me, that fuels all of us, right? We get a positive feedback loop, like saying, you're a good mom, Julie, you know, or, you know what I mean? It's like, I am a good mom. I am doing a good job, right? Because we need to encourage each other. And I love the positive feedback. I've got plenty of haters. I love that.
That means you're doing something good.
I shouldn't even call them haters. I have people who disagree.
Non-believers.
Right. And that's okay. That's part of the energy flow. And I appreciate them being honest and sharing, you know, their belief, you know, as I'm sharing mine, you know, because they have that right. I love that. So lots
I do
of
too,
things.
But yours is science-based. So.
Well, everyone can twist the science.
You're good. Yes, it's so true.
And, even health guys like me are capable of it, right?
Of course.
We all are. So it's even we hold each other accountable. Yeah.
So we get checks and balances. This is why we build community. It's a good thing.
Amen.
Warren, in your vast array of knowledge, what is one step that listeners can take starting today to improve their health?
Every time someone asks me this question, I try not to say this because it's not even a toxin. It's you. It's, if you want to live a non-toxic lifestyle, you really have to get honest with yourself, and love yourself too. Cause I think we have to find good reasons to make the changes. So there's so many of us that'll make a lot of excuses not to make these changes. It's overwhelming. Or they'll say it's fear mongering. It really doesn't matter. But in your heart of hearts, you know that these changes could help, right? And you're scared, right? And if you can get to a place and you're hearing this and it's like, and you can listen from an objective standpoint and bring this information in and not boohoo it and not get angry about it, right? And just be like, look, I'm going to listen what this guy has to say, and I'm going to implement one thing this week, right? And I'm going to love myself. And that's to help me and my family do better and find a good reason to do it. Don't find an excuse not to do it. Find a solution and how it's going to benefit your life and attach a positive outcome. Like, I'm removing all my fragrances by the end of this date, and set a date, else you won't do it. Right. So if you get overwhelmed, there's a lot of psychology when it comes into making change.
Yes.
And this is change, and it's hard change, and it's a never ending change. And like, oh my God, another thing. I saw another video, non-toxic dad just canceled that. And I don't mean it to be fearful. I meant it just to dial it in. It might be something you want to do. It might not be something. And if it's a big one, I'm going to tell you. I'm like, this is a big one. Like, fragrances is a big one. It's a big needle mover in your life. And don't get overwhelmed. If you can do one change a week, even one change a month, you're going to see improvement. Energy is going to come back online. Your mitochondria, hormones, testosterone, better decision making, all that. So don't get overwhelmed. Make small changes. Love yourself enough to make those changes and be open-minded enough to take those steps towards a non-toxic lifestyle.
I love it. I knew your one thing was going to encompass a lot. Amazing. And in case people didn't catch on already, for those that are listening on the go, where's the best place to find you?
Non-toxic dad is everywhere, all over social. So just non-toxic dad, all social platforms. Instagram is probably the one that's the biggest for me, but also TikTok, YouTube on shorts, and Facebook is actually growing as well.
Amazing. Warren, thank you so much for sharing so much gold with us today.
The honor was mine. I can't wait to see you in a few weeks.
Well, it's coming up fast. Time is flying. For everyone listening, remember, you can get the transcripts and show notes by visiting inspiredliving.show. Hope you had a great time and enjoyed this episode as much as I did. And maybe listen to it again, because there's a lot.
Thank you for listening to Julie Michelson's Inspired Living with Autoimmunity. Did you enjoy this episode? Please like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. If you'd like to get a transcript of this and every other episode, just head on over to inspiredliving.show or click on the link in this episode's description. There, you can also find everything we discussed in this episode, including links and information about our guests. You can even send in your questions to be answered by Julie in a future episode. That's inspiredliving.show. Until next time, this is Julie Michelson's Inspired Living with Autoimmunity podcast, helping you take your power back.